Welcome back to The Strategic Edge. Today, we're tackling a concept that, on the surface, feels like a paradox. We're going to talk about why building a business in what's officially termed a distressed community isn't a sign of desperation.
Right.
It's often the mark of a deeply strategic and, you know, visionary plan.
It's a powerful and often misunderstood topic, Alex. For most people, the phrase distressed community immediately brings to mind risk, decline, and economic hardship.
Yeah.
It sounds like a place to avoid, not a place to invest millions of dollars.
Exactly. It feels like swimming against the current. But what we're going to explore today is how that label, in the world of, let's say, sophisticated finance and development, isn't a red flag. It's a green light. It's a signal that an area is poised for revitalization.
Okay.
Backed by some of the most powerful incentives the government can offer.
Let's start by demystifying the term itself. A distressed community designation is a formal label given by state and federal agencies.
Mm-hmm.
It's data-driven, based on metrics like higher than average unemployment, lower median household incomes, slower economic growth, and a high number of underutilized or vacant commercial properties.
So it's an official acknowledgement of economic struggle, but here's the critical reframe. The designation isn't the end of the story.
Right.
It's the beginning of a new one. It's the government putting a giant pin on the map and essentially saying to the private sector,
yeah,
we want development here. We will make it worth your while to be a part of the solution.
And the single most powerful tool they use to make it worth your while is the Opportunity Zone program.
Ah, yes.
Often called an OZ. This is where the story shifts from just community development to a masterclass in capital attraction.
Okay, let's walk through that because the mechanics they're brilliant. Imagine an investor, a family office, or a private equity fund. They've just sold an asset, stocks, a building, another company.
Okay.
They've now sold an asset, stocks, a building, another company, and are now sitting on a large capital gain. The IRS is waiting for its share.
Normally, yes, but the Opportunity Zone program offers them a different path.
Right.
It allows them to take that profit and, instead of paying taxes on it, reinvest it into a Qualified Opportunity Fund, or QOF. Think of a QOF as a specialized investment fund that has one job, to deploy capital into projects located within these designated opportunity zones.
And this is where the incentives get layered, rewarding long-term commitment.
Yes.
It's not just one benefit. It's a tiered system. First, the investor gets to defer paying the taxes on their original gain. They just kick that can down the road.
That's benefit number one, and it's nice, but it gets much better. If they keep their investment in the Opportunity Fund for at least 5 years, they get a reduction on that original tax bill.
Okay.
But Alex, that's not even the real prize.
No, the grand prize, the one that makes every sophisticated investor's ears perk up.
Exactly.
Is what happens at the 10-year mark.
Exactly. If an investor keeps their capital in that Opportunity Zone project for 10 years or more,
wow.
Any new profit they make from that specific investment, the appreciation of the real estate, the profits from the business, is 100% completely federally tax-free.
Let's put a number on that to make it tangible. You invest $2 million of capital gains into an OZ project.
Okay.
Over 10 years, through smart development and operations, that stake is now worth, say, $10 million.
Right.
That $8 million in new value, the federal capital gains tax is zero. It's an almost unparalleled wealth creation tool.
Mm-hmm.
And it's written into the tax code for a specific purpose.
It's not a loophole.
No.
It's a policy instrument. It's explicitly designed to steer patient, long-term capital into areas that traditional investment has fled.
Right.
It forces investors to think in decades, not quarters.
So let's make this concrete with a case study.
Let's.
We'll use the one from your framework, South Fallsburg Hydroponics, a hypothetical cannabis cultivation company looking for a place to build.
This is a perfect example. A cannabis cultivation facility is a heavy piece of infrastructure.
Yeah.
You're building a highly specialized, multi-million dollar industrial asset.
It's not something you can pack up and move.
Right.
It requires long-term operational stability to be profitable.
So the business model inherently requires a long-term hold.
Yes. They aren't looking to flip the property in 2 years. They need to be there for the long haul to recoup their investment and turn a profit.
And the Opportunity Zone program rewards a long-term hold.
There it is.
The 10-year timeline for the biggest tax benefit isn't a burden for a business like this. It's a perfect match for their natural business cycle.
Wow.
This is the strategic alignment we're talking about. The needs of the business and the structure of the incentive are in perfect sync.
This synergy elevates the entire project. I mean, an investor isn't just buying into a cannabis company anymore.
No.
You're buying into an operating business sitting on appreciating industrial real estate, all wrapped in an incredibly efficient tax vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
The enterprise value is immediately higher because of the structure.
But, Alex, this is where the narrative becomes just as important as the numbers. As the founder or CEO, how do you communicate this?
Yeah.
How do you talk about building in a distressed area without sounding like you're just taking advantage of a community's struggles for a tax break?
This is the most critical part, and it separates the truly strategic thinkers from the merely opportunistic. The framing has to be precise. The wrong way to say it, the way that gets you into trouble, is we're benefiting from a distressed designation.
It sounds extractive and predatory.
The right way, the powerful way, is to change a few key words.
Right. We intentionally chose to invest in a federally recognized revitalization zone because it aligns our business growth with community renewal.
That simple shift in language changes everything.
It does.
It reframes the decision from opportunistic to purpose-driven. You're not profiting from distress.
No.
You are an active agent in reversing it. You are a partner.
And you can back it up with facts. You're bringing structured employment. You're creating a new tax base for the municipality. You're often taking a derelict, underutilized industrial space and turning it into a productive asset.
Totally.
It's a story of regeneration, not exploitation. It's a true double bottom line, a powerful financial return married to a tangible social impact.
So when you, as a founder, stand in front of investors and combine these layers, the story is just incredibly compelling.
Mm-hmm.
You say, our site has industrial zoning. We have our state cannabis license. It sits in a distressed community and qualifies as an opportunity zone.
It's a perfect storm of strategic advantages. You're showing them you have regulatory clarity, powerful economic incentives, unmatched capital efficiency, and a positive, defensible community narrative.
Right.
That's a fortress. It demonstrates a level of foresight that goes far beyond just growing a plant.
It proves you're not just building a company.
Yeah.
You're building an enduring asset that is deeply and intelligently integrated into the fabric of a community's comeback story.
Exactly.
That is a powerful and valuable position to be in.
So for our listeners, whether you're an investor looking for your next opportunity or a founder planning your next move, understanding this dynamic is essential. A location on a map is never just a location.
No.
It's a bundle of risks, opportunities, and stories. The key is to find the locations where those elements align in your favor.
Now, here's a question we'd like you to think about. As these powerful incentives drive billions of dollars of new investment into formerly neglected communities, how do you think these investors and founders have a responsibility to ensure that the benefits of revitalization, the new jobs, the improved infrastructure, and the rising property values are shared equitably with the longtime residents who weathered the distress?